just like what Willie did, and it was on radio, so you couldn't see it, probably rolling his eyes in East Nashville when I went down the rabbit hole of full-time refs. Our next guest probably rolls his eyes, too, every time I say, the Big Cheese is on the line, Scott Ramsey, Nashville Sport Council. I don't know why I can't ever just give him the proper due. I think Big Cheese is bigger than big. I think it's bigger than the title he already has. But Scott is on the line with us, and we actually threw out this when it was announced. It's going to take some time to say the Transperfect Music City Bowl, and now Scott joins us. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren, and I'm trying not to get to be a Big Cheese here during this COVID work from home, eat everything in the house kind of mode.
Yeah, no, we're all fighting that, believe me. Tell us a little bit about Transperfect. I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know a lot about them, but I'm really glad that they're a part of our community. And, of course, you know, sponsorships are, you know, what drives everything and what you do. And obviously they're vitally important to what you do when it comes to the Music City Bowl.
Well, it's kind of a great story, really. I think it speaks to a lot of things that we should feel pretty proud about our community and our sports community about. Obviously, Franklin American Mortgage was a tremendous 10-year sponsor with us. Really couldn't have done it without them. And however, they were purchased by a bank in the Northeast, and they decided not to renew the sponsorship. So last year, we had to redo our conference agreements, and we transitioned fully to the Big Ten for the next 6 years. And this is year one of a 6-year agreement. It syncs up with the college football playoff cycle. And with that, it was the expiration of Franklin American sponsorship. And we were in the marketplace. And actually, Transperfect reached out to us because of what Nashville had kind of become as a sports destination. They are an international translation company, a huge amount of Fortune 500 companies as clients. They do everything from printed to call centers to business consulting, international translation services, which is funny now. Every time I buy something, I see about 8 different versions of languages in it, and I think of them. But they're a private company, and they were looking for a little branding, very similar to Franklin American, and they also want to entertain some of their high-end corporate clients, and Nashville really fit that bill, and they knew we had a great reputation and a lot of stability with sponsorships, and this is their first sponsorship and opportunity to get their name out there, and we're pretty proud that they chose to invest in Nashville.
Well, you can tell them it's working because I'm a prime example of I see that, and I want to know more. Like, okay, I didn't know anything about them, so I want to know more, and I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for more recognition and more people to know what they do. So tell them job well done. You guys also made the announcement of the date of this year's Music City Bowl. You've always been kind of in that December 29th through December 31st window. It's varied from year to year and times, too. Do you feel, and I know this is hard to answer, right? It's hard to answer a lot of questions in 2020 because sometimes we just don't have the answer. But do you feel, I'm just gut feeling right now, do you think it's going to go off the announced date that you put out there? Do you still feel good that it'll happen then? Or do you think there's a real shot a lot of this stuff gets pushed into January?
Well, I mean, that's a great hypothetical question, Darren. I think a couple things. One, on the December 30 day, it's any time in the last, I would say, 10 years or 15 years since we started, or the city and the CVB has started the New Year's Eve event, we have tried to work with ESPN the best we could to be on the 30th. Now, sometimes that conflicts with the Titans schedule where it falls on the weekend or certain things happen where we couldn't do it. But we feel like from a business standpoint and a tourism standpoint, it allows us to bring in the bowl fans, all 35,000 to 40,000 of them that we've been averaging as out of towners, roll into the city and either stay for New Year's Eve, or if they choose to leave, the hotels can fill up with some new clients, and we're not kind of on top of each other with big events. So the 30th really was a great strategic kind of model for us in the city to kind of roll right into New Year's Eve. But to your question about this year, I feel as good as we can feel. I feel better now than I felt probably 6 weeks ago about, having a game. And, certainly this year won't be representative of what we've built the bowl to be as a good 3-day Nashville-style party with Battle of the Bands and closing streets and concerts and tailgate parties and all of those things. And we're going to have to cancel those this year for obvious reasons. And I think every bowl game now is working under a model where teams only probably travel in for one or two nights and really kind of create a bubble at the hotel, play the games, and do the best we can with selling as many tickets as will be allowed by our local protocols at that time. So, you know, it's going to be a scaled-down version, no doubt about that. It's not what we wanted to roll out with our first year with Transperfect, our first year with selecting third in the Big Ten right behind the Outback Bowl. But, you know, it is what it is, and we think it's a positive step forward to have the game. We're on the 30th. We lead into the Cotton Bowl, so hopefully we'll have great viewership, and hopefully, you know, by then we can sell, you know, more tickets than the Titans are doing now, and hopefully we can kind of ramp that up and get a little bit of a tourism impact for us this year and then start turning our attention to 2021.
Scott Ramsey with us, executive director of the new Transperfect Music City Bowl, which will be December the 30th. And, Scott, you just laid it out. You guys have a pretty good pick, and over the years you guys have improved your position. So it probably wouldn't get to you. But this year, as we know, the selection process is going to be different with teams, for the most part, just playing in conference. So what do you think we're going to see? How do you think that will affect how you pick?
Well, today, right now, Willie, we're kind of working through that with our conference partners, Big Ten, SEC. I think there's a couple things. One, the business format or formula that we've traditionally had and every bowl has had. We make guarantees to the conferences for, you know, a certain pick selection. We've really gone, we as all the bowls really have gone back to the conferences and saying, hey guys, I mean, this year, you know, some cities can sell tickets, some can't. All of our sponsors aren't coming back. We can't create the assets with the social and entertainment assets that we've normally had to package the sponsors. We may not have tickets. So we've gone back to the conferences and really tried to take a one-year retooling of the business formula. And we're working through that now. And I think that will impact how we create matchups. And I'm going to move away from word selection for 1 year and say we're going to try to create the best matchup that we can for Nashville. Now, that may turn into, hey, we want to be a little more regional with teams only coming in for 1 or 2 days and try to minimize travel costs. That may not be the case, where we may have some teams charter in and come in because that's just kind of the way the everything fell. We're hopeful that we've got you know, a full lineup of teams from each conference that can go to bowls. Obviously, the NCAA waived the minimum win rule because we just don't know how many games teams are going to play. They're playing all conference games or maybe some canceled. Big Ten's already had one, Wisconsin, Nebraska. So, you know, from that standpoint, the conferences are going to fill their contracted bowl partners in some form or fashion, and we're trying to figure out what the best method for that will be over the next few weeks.
So here's a hypothetical, Scott, and once again, I don't think this would affect you guys, but I'm curious if there's a attractive team out there from a television rating standpoint, a branding standpoint, and a league like the Big Ten that maybe hasn't played all their games. Is it the league that determines to the bowls, these are the teams from our league that are eligible to be picked? Or if a bowl game wanted to take a team that had kind of a rough year, but there were reasons for that, maybe they had a section of their games that were either canceled or they were depleted for virus reasons, what kind of leeway does the bowl game have there?
Well, I'll give you two answers, Willie. The first answer will be over the six-year contract period, every conference has a different way of kind of selecting teams. For our two, and I'll give you the specific changes in ours, the Big Ten's a full pick. The Citrus Bowl picks, the Outback Bowl picks, we pick. And we're pretty excited about getting some new fan bases and some new brands in here. You know, the Penn States, the Michigans, the Iowas, the Wisconsins that we think would do extremely well in here. And picking in that slot, we think we have a good shot at those type of teams. In the SEC, we have a pool of five bowl games. Charlotte and Las Vegas alternate year to year, but that counts as one slot. Nashville, Jacksonville, Tampa, and Houston. We all work in collaboration with the conference on teams. We try not to repeat teams within a three-year period the best we can. and obviously avoid some matchups. And through that process, ultimately, the SEC makes an assignment if you want to get contractual about it. But the Bulls have a major say in how that, who we'd like in that. So that's two very different systems. One's a very collaborative effort with the conference having the last say, and the Big Ten is more of your traditional, historical, hey, you're on the clock, who are you selecting? This year, though, I just think you can kind of throw all that out the window. And we're going to try to make the best matchups in each city that make the most sense. And to your point, I mean, it's just going to be a year that's going to be hard to kind of measure things on a traditional sense of records, wins, losses. You know, you could have some players that were major impact players and missed two or three or four games, and then they're back. So, you know, I think once the CFP and the New Year's Six guys fill their slots, I think after that you're going to see more of a collaboration between all the Bulls and the conferences and trying to make matchups that make sense. That could make sense on trying to reduce travel costs, and it could make sense of just putting matchups, to your point, Willie, of really creating some great matchups that gain a lot of viewership on the broadcast.
We're talking to Scott Ramsey of the Nashville Sports Council and the Music City Bowl. Of course, December 30th, that game will be played in our city. Scott, as you know, this has been obviously a weird time, and we've, for years, have been having conversations with you, whether it's about the Bowl or, hey, what's next? What's the next big event that's coming to our city? How has this pandemic affected some of the conversations that you and your crew have had with some of these other events that could be in our city in the future?
That's a great question, Chase. It seems like we're doing, like everybody, just doing a lot of work that hopefully won't ever come to fruition on a lot of what-if situations. So, you know, in 2021-22, I would say in my 25 years of being here, it's probably our most dynamic lineup of events that maybe we've ever had over an 18-month period, with the diversity of events and the uniqueness of the events. And I'll run through them real quick. Obviously, we hope in November 21st here in a couple weeks that we'll be able to stage a delayed 2020 Rock and Roll Marathon Half Marathon. We're hoping to get 7,000-8,000 runners. We've recreated the course, minimized the personal interaction, but hopefully we can pull that off. Hopefully we can stage the Bowl on December 30th if everything tracks right with the regular seasons and through the COVID situation. But then in 21, we flipped it and we go straight into the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. Hopefully another Rock and Roll Marathon in late April. In May, we've got the NCAA Men's Golf Regionals out at the Golf Club of Tennessee. And then in July, we've got the SEC Football Media Days for the first time at the Grand Hyatt in the new Nashville Yards area. We're hoping to kind of create, you know, a great event for that. But again, 6-8 months out, who knows? We follow that up with the first Grand Prix, Music City Grand Prix, which will be a really dynamic event with IndyCar in August, come back for the Bowl in December. Hopefully it's back to normal. And then in January, we've got the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, which will select the Olympic team for the Beijing Olympics. Hopefully that stays on time. So there's just a lot of things that we've got lined up that we hope can kind of get us back and really accelerate the economic recovery of our city through some sporting events.
So with all that said, and here comes the hypothetical, as we like to do here on this show.
That's where we live these days, isn't it?
Exactly. Like. And especially in this profession, it's what we have to do. We obviously, things are different in Canada with the travels of their teams, and so we've seen a lot of their teams look at playing at other places. The Blue Jays played in Buffalo for their season. Hypothetically, could Nashville be in consideration for the Raptors if the NBA were to approve it, if they needed a home and could not play in Toronto? Is that something that you all have discussed or would discuss, or how would you answer that?
Well, I certainly don't want to completely punt on an answer, but I would say really, in all sincerity, that'd be a better question for Sean Henry, and that would just be on whatever he thinks the available dates and the business situation between when they think they can start scheduling concerts, hockey games, and can they roll in an NBA team. I don't really know the time frames, the dates, and those kind of terms. That would be something that would be very building specific, Chase, If it happened, I know Sean would call and say, hey, we need all the partners in the city to help with X, Y, and Z. I'm certain that Nashville is in consideration for everything right now. I mean, I mentioned the TransPerfect decision, and that really came because of the profile Nashville has kind of become as a sports destination, so sports and entertainment for that matter. So I would say a generic answer is yes, I think we would be a city considered, but a specific answer would have to probably go to Sean on being able to work all that out from a logistical and operational standpoint.
Hey, that is a fair answer. I just wanted to kind of see where you all were at on that. He's Scott Ramsey with the Nashville Sports Council and the Music City Bowl coming up on December 30th. Looking forward to that. Scott, we appreciate it as always.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. And if I can leave you with one thing. If everybody would jump on nashvillesports.com, we're still really needing some help with some volunteers for the marathon on November 21st. You can sign up as groups of four or six and help us with a water station. All the COVID protocols are in place. They're on our website. And we really need some help there to kind of help pull off an event that hopefully is the first step of getting back to some normalcy. So if anybody out there listening and, has some time or availability, man, we really appreciate it here in the last minute to kind of help us with some volunteerism.
Absolutely. Be sure to do
appreciate
that.
It.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Scott Ramsey with the Music City Bowl and the Nashville Sports Council joining us here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'll have much more coming, but it's my time to tell you about BetMGM. I've been talking about this for a few weeks now. Sports betting became legal on Sunday. I downloaded the app. It was very simple. I searched BetMGM in the App Store. I got registered. That was another simple process. Made my deposit and got going on some NFL games. You can do that too. It is not too late, and they have some special offers for you. New customers can make their first bet risk-free up to $500. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME. 1025GAME. That's the bonus code you use when you sign up. Bet with confidence day in and day out with their innovative parlay system, so you can build those and try and win more. In-play betting, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. It's always showtime on the BetMGM app from the same people that bring you the most exciting sports books and casinos on the Las Vegas Strip. At BetMGM, you're always just one click away from your victory dance. So all you need to do like I did, go download the app, search BetMGM, or you can go to BetMGM.com, use that bonus code 1025GAME, and you get up to $500 in free bets on your first wager. It's that simple. Turn big plays into paydays like me at BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the Tennessee Titans. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. You must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.